Let's open to John 15 again. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for your precious word. Father God, we thank you that your word is life. We thank you, Father God, that it's your heart. It is your plan and your intention for us. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit who is present in our lives every day to teach us your word, to open it to our understanding. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, for this day. We thank you for all the things that you have in store for us as your body, your people today. That they're good things. They're uplifting things. They're things that will make a difference in our lives because we are connected to you in our relationship with you. So Lord, we are so thankful. We come with thankful hearts, receptive hearts, open minds to hear your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Excuse me. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Verse 7 is the verse that we've been sort of camping on here over the last few weeks of sharing this message. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so he said, in context, this is a teaching on prayer. And it's talking about how to be fruitful in prayer. But I believe that these same principles are applicable to being fruitful in our healing, to being fruitful financially, to be fruitful in our relationships, marriage, and just our work relationships, how we conduct ourselves in the workplace, all of those things. I believe if we'll take these things to heart, if we'll apply these things and take heed to them, we can bear fruit. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Now, I was just reading something recently about the rewards that we will receive as believers for the things that we did out of a heart of love. And those are all things that we're going to be able to cast at the feet of Jesus. It's all for his glory. And so that we should all desire to be fruitful. We should all desire to be fruitful, have fruitful lives, and in areas where we are being fruitful, that we would even become more fruitful. Even more for now, it doesn't mean we have to have more kids, although it wouldn't be bad. I was teasing Elon last week, I think it was, and said, look, we don't have any babies in the nursery right now. She didn't jump on it. We need some more babies in our church. But, you know, that's just one way of being fruitful, obviously. But we can be fruitful in every area of our life, and that should be our goal, to be fruitful. But there's only one way to be fruitful, and that is to be connected to the vine, to abide in him and to have his words abiding in us. And, of course, when you read a promise like this in verse 7, it's so incredible. It's so incredible to hear God say, look, ask whatever you want. You know, haven't we as parents done that at times to our kids? Our kids, we just love our kids so much. We say, what do you want? What can I do for you today? Well, that's the Father's heart towards his people. But you would sometimes you wonder, is this true? Could this promise be true? And your imagination can start running wild with something like this. But I believe that if we're abiding in him, if we're staying close to him and connecting with him, and his words are abiding in us, we know what his will is, we'll ask for things that are appropriate. We won't be asking for crazy things, which, you know, that's given the Word of Faith movement a black eye over the years, is the silly things that people have done in the name of faith. And so, of course, we see that this promise is conditional on abiding, that being connected with him. If you're connected with him, if you're close to him, I just think that just means you just you just sidle right up alongside of him. You just are close in connection with him. You have that as an ongoing consciousness throughout the day. We're not going to see God at special times. Of course, there are special times for devotions and things like that. I'm not saying that we don't do that. What I'm saying is developing a consciousness of God inside of us and being with him all of the time. And that's one of the conditions of being able to ask and having it done, is that we're with him, we're connected to him. Because God never fails with his promises. If there's a promise failure in our lives, it's not God. God never fails to honor his promises. Remember, all the promises of God are in him, what? Yes, and in him, amen. So that means they're for everybody. So it's never that God fails to honor his promises. Really, only Satan and our flesh can hinder us from experiencing the promises of God. Because when we don't abide in him, when we spend time just pursuing carnal pursuits, that keeps us in a place where we're powerless. And we don't want to be powerless. It's difficult to resist our enemy when we're being carnal. Doesn't Ephesians chapter 6 tell us to put on the whole armor of God? Doesn't that sound like abiding in him? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, against the wiles of the wicked one. Why is it that so many Christians fall prey to these crazy things that come along so often, these crazy things that they say, well, this God said this or God said that? Well, because they're not spending time, they're not abiding with him or in him. And so it's difficult to stand against the wiles of the enemy when we're not abiding. And so again, going back to verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. And so every single concept of this word abides implies continuance, being continually doing this. It's consistency. It's not, well, I'm going to spend time with the Lord because it's Sunday morning, or I'm going to spend time with the Lord because it's Wednesday night and we have prayer. This is implying a consistency, an ongoing communion. You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. They just don't visit faith once in a while. They don't just visit there occasionally. We live by faith. It's a lifestyle. And so it should be our dream, our desire, our goal to have this be a consistent thing in our lives. It's where we live. It's where we spend most of our time. That's what abiding is talking about. It's where do you live? And again, that word abide means to stay. And I can't help it, but it was the other night I was just thinking about this verse, and when I was thinking about the definition to stay, I imagined, how many of you have ever had a dog? And you teach the dog to what? Stay. And we used to have a dog, we had this big old basset hound years ago, and when Eric and Jennifer were still living at home, and Eric would put a treat on her nose, right on the end of her nose, and tell her to stay. And she did. She was so good. But her eyes would be looking at that treat, you know, and she was just so anticipating getting that treat. But yet, even though I don't want to compare us to dogs, but it's almost like that. It's almost like staying with your eyes on the master and being in that place of anticipation and not moving off from that place. And then, of course, then he'd say, okay, and then she'd flip her head up and catch it, you know. Now, God isn't holding back from us. You know, don't misunderstand. He's not holding back or withholding things or teasing us in any way. But there is something about staying, that dog's willingness just to stay and wait. Just wait for the word. Wait for that word, okay. And she'd flip her little head, her big head up, and she'd catch that thing. And so that was sort of the picture I was getting when I was thinking of staying, because it's talking about staying this definition I thought was so good. It says to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. So to stay in a place of anticipation or expectancy. And that's so often where we miss it, is we stop expecting. We stop anticipating. We get used to the 24/7 lifestyle that we have. We get caught up in life, and life happens to all of us, but we lose that sense of expectancy and always anticipating good things from the Father. And so why is it so important to stay? I believe the reason it's so important for us to keep our minds stayed on the Lord, it's not just our hearts, because, you know, our heart's connected to God already, our spirit man. But to have your mind stayed on the Lord is important because our minds can't be passive or static. Just try once to think of nothing. If you're sitting there and you're trying to think of nothing, well, what are you thinking of? You're trying to think. You're thinking about thinking of nothing then. So it's impossible for our minds to just be passive or static, but God created our minds in such a way that they would imagine and that they would ponder and that they would calculate. He created our minds to be imaginative, to ponder things, and you know, to be creative. He created us like that. And so what our minds imagine or what our minds ponder or what our minds are calculating are totally up to our choosing. So what you're thinking on right now, or say this afternoon when you're just sitting and you're staring out the window, have you ever had somebody, my husband asks me this, he'll see me staring off, he'll go, what you thinking about? Oh, nothing. You only will say nothing. You guys do that too? Yeah, but that's impossible. It's impossible for you to be thinking about nothing. Isn't that true? It's impossible. You can't be thinking about nothing. Well, it might look like we're thinking about nothing, but that's really impossible. And it's important what we think on. Why is it so important? Well, first of all, because think of the things that are in the Word where it says, he says, think on these things or meditate on these things. And I looked up the word Selah. How many of you know the word Selah means? It means to pause and calmly think of this. That word Selah is used 75 times in the Old Testament. So what we're thinking on, what we're connecting with, where we're going mentally is really important. It's really important, and it's totally up to our choosing. You can be thinking on something foul, or you can be thinking on something wonderful. Or you can be thinking on something very natural and carnal. You can be fretting about something, how you're going to make it work. As I said last week, you look at Isaiah where the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And I was saying, you know, it's like the difference between sea level. I was thinking of the Death Valley. Isn't Death Valley the lowest point on the earth? Or is there a lower point? Not considering under the oceans, but I think Death Valley is one of the lowest spots on the earth. And so often that's where our minds are. They're in Death Valley. They're thinking things that cannot lead to life. God's thoughts compared to our thoughts about everything in life are so superior. They're like way up there, Mount Everest high above Death Valley. And so He has different thoughts for us, and if we don't spend time choosing to think the way He tells us to think on these things, or meditate on these things, or stop and think about that. When you read some wonderful promise in the Scriptures, stop and think about it. That's what Selah means. Pause and calmly think about this. Because that's the only way it's going to get our minds renewed to start thinking the way He thinks about things. So abiding and connecting with Him, is particularly in the area of healing, is very important. I know just recently, over the last few weeks, I've had the Lord, it wasn't that I was thinking wrong about something, but He was helping me really tweak some things in my thinking that I realized, oh, that needs to be tweaked a little bit. And I think the older we get, the more, not age necessarily, but in the Lord, in the things of the Lord, the more open you become to that, because you know, I don't want to think my thoughts. I don't want to have any bit of this be about my thoughts. I want God's thoughts to be my thoughts, because the way He looks at things is so superior. Our thoughts, the way we think about our money, our bodies, our marriages, our work relationships, all of the things that we are caught up in on a 24/7 basis, they are so inferior to the way God thinks. The way God thinks about it. He has something to say about every single one of these areas of our lives that would bring us up to a higher level in life, that would cause us to operate and live at a higher level. Our finances, while we could live at a whole different level financially than what we are right now. And even if it's good, it can be better, way better. It can be, even right now, if it's good, it could be way, way better. because he has things to say about that to us. Our health, even if maybe you're experiencing good health, it could be better. It could be even better. The thing is that we have to purpose that this year is not going to be like last year. It's not going to be like last year with our finances, with our health, with our marriage. You know, a lot of times people approach our marriage seminars like, well, I don't need to come to a marriage seminar. We got a great marriage. That's why you need to come to the marriage seminar. It's like an insurance policy. You come and you get exhorted and you spend time away. You make a sacrifice to get away and to spend time together. It's a marriage building time, not a marriage saving time. It's a marriage building. It might be a marriage saving time. It might be things that get said there that could save us from trouble down the road. So God tells us some very specific things to think on, to meditate on, to pause and calmly think on. He tells us these things in his word. We can't do that without abiding in him, without connecting with him. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusteth in thee. So, again, we see the same thing, the mind being stayed somewhere, staying our mind. It's like tethering our mind to that place in God where we don't let our mind depart from the truths that we hear. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be thinking about God all day long. But don't let your mind, your thought processes, your ideologies depart from him. Don't let the things that you're hearing on the news about what's going on over in the former Soviet Union right now. One of our missionaries, Barry and Adrian Jensen, are right in the middle of that. They are right, and we thank God we got an email from Donna Larson. Her brother is Barry Jensen. She forwarded to us that they're okay. They've lost phone and they've lost everything, except they've got, little iPhones and stuff now, so they can still communicate. But, when you start hearing about Russian troops rolling in to where you live, that can get kind of nerve-wracking. So there's things we're hearing all the time. We're hearing about the economy. We're hearing, we're hearing all these things all the time. We have to keep our minds stayed, our thought life stayed on what God says about our lives. If they say the economy is going to tank, we need to keep our thoughts stayed on what God says about our finances and about provision. You know, there's many, thank God for the examples that have been recorded in the scriptures about times of famine where God provided for his people because they trusted in him. So he said, great peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And it's interesting because this word keep, the first way this word keep is used is of a vine dresser keeping his vine. And isn't that where we started with all of this in John chapter 15? The vine dresser will keep us. And it says where he'll keep us. He'll keep us in perfect peace. That is such a wonderful phrase, perfect peace. In the Hebrew, perfect peace is shalom, shalom. Shalom on its own is good, but no, it's shalom, shalom. And shalom, shalom is more than just the absence of war. It's great to have an absence of conflict or an absence of war, but this word means more than a mere absence of war. It conveys the idea of completeness, wholeness, harmony, and fulfillment. Implicit in shalom is the idea of unimpaired relationships with others and fulfillment in one's undertakings. Isn't that good? Implicit in shalom is the idea of unimpaired relationships with others and the fulfillment of one's undertakings. But it's not just having I'm at peace. No, it's talking about completeness, wholeness, harmony. I think it was Billy Brim who said it means nothing missing, nothing broken. But it says the way to experience that in life is to have our minds stayed on him, abide in him, allowing his words to abide in us. So even during the work day, when we get something challenging comes along, our minds are stayed there. Our minds are stayed on the fact that God's got an answer for this. I have the mind of Christ. He can show me. He can give me his wisdom on how to take care of this. Or if we hear bad news from the doctor, our minds are stayed. It's like they're staked to the ways and the purposes of God so that they don't stray. They're not pulled off. They're not easily diverted from the truth. They're stayed. It's almost like It's like tying a horse, you know, when we were kids, we had horses and we'd ride the horses. You know, we get off the horse, you wouldn't just drop the reins and let the horse go. You would usually tie the reins to something to keep him stayed, to stay him there. Now, unfortunately, the horse wasn't like the dog. You couldn't say stay with a horse like you could with a dog. The dog would stay, but the horse wouldn't stay. We'd have to tie him there. Sometimes I imagine our minds have to be like that. We have to tie our minds to the principles and concepts and precepts of God, because it's not if bad news comes, it's when bad news comes. It's when the attacks come, because they're going to come. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's against us. We live in a world that's opposite and contrary to us. And so we have to have our minds stayed on those principles of God. Think on these, meditate on these things. Seal it, pause and calmly think on this. That's a choice. Now, that's something you have to purpose you're going to do, because there's these opportunities to take cares and worry come along. And let's look at Luke chapter 10 here for the last couple minutes of this morning. Luke chapter 10, this is the story of Mary and Martha. In verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know, a lot of us are like Martha. We're concerned about what's going on in our lives. We're concerned about the things that are happening in the political arena of the world. And we're concerned about the economy. We're concerned about all kinds of things. We're concerned about them. And we're occupied with things that may keep us from keeping our minds stayed on Him. That abiding, keeping, staying in that place where we're connected to God. We're not easily thrown off. We don't get up and decide to have a bad day because our emotions are a little off kilter. These things can keep us from staying, that connection to the way God sees things, His thoughts that are so superior to our inferior Death Valley thoughts. And you know, it's easy to turn, to recognize and turn from things that are wrong. It's easy to do that. There's things in our lives that we know we should not have anything to do. It's easy to identify those things. But you know, there's even good things that can keep us from spending that time in connecting with God and developing that strong connection with His precepts and His purposes in life. But we need to prioritize. We need to decide, I'm going to keep my mind stayed here, even when we're trying to get pulled off. And it happens every day. We see things come along every single day in our lives that challenge what our minds are stayed on. And so it's a priority, and that's really what was going on here. Martha was coming and complaining to Jesus because Mary had chosen something really good to do, and Martha was caught up with something else. And we can be like that. We can be like Martha, where we get caught up in things that are important, the things that are needful. You know, it's important to serve. Amen. I'm not saying don't serve. We should serve. We should all be serving in some capacity. It's about priorities. It's about what is the priority? What's the most important thing now? And that's what Jesus said, that Mary, what Mary has chosen is the one needful thing. There's one thing that is needful. That word means essential. We could say vital. Remember, we've talked about the vital necessity of seeking the Lord and connecting to Him. And that's what Mary chose. She chose that one thing. And this is the answer to worries. This is the answer to cares. This is what brings perfect peace, is choosing this one thing. Choosing that He's where we're tethered. This is where my mind is tethered. I don't get pulled off by bad news. I don't get pulled off by evil reports. I don't get pulled off by what's going on in the world scene. I don't get pulled off. I don't get pulled off by how somebody else acts. And then I respond in kind. You know, we don't get pulled off. We're tethered. Our mind is stayed. Now, again, it doesn't mean that you have to be thinking thoughts about Jesus all day long. That's impossible. But you can choose to have your thoughts tethered to the principles of God so that when these opportunities come, that's your default. That's where you go. That's where you default. That's what it's talking. When it talks about our hearts being established, fixed, trusting in the Lord, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being established on these principles. So this is my go-to place when things happen. This is where I go. This is where I go to in my heart, in my mind. I go to these life-changing principles of God. I don't stop and think, well, what about that? Oh, what about what's going to happen? You know, look what Putin's doing over there right now. We could end up in another, you know, really serious situation here. You know, your mind can start thinking, calculating, pondering, imagining. No, we're going to keep our minds tethered, stayed on the Lord, or we're not going to have perfect peace. Amen. And we can train our minds to do that. We can train our minds to stay, just like that dog, stay. Stay. So how do you do that? You park the things that concern you. It's like parking your car. You park them with the Lord. Just park it there. Just park it. Something's bothering you. Something's troubling you. Something, you know, sometimes after you talk to somebody on the phone, or maybe it's a family member, and then you have just that kind of, oh, in your heart, you're kind of grieved. Go park that. Now, I'm not saying don't pray about it, but park the concern side of it with Him, because God doesn't want us carrying those things. He says, cast your cares on me, because I care for you. So go park that with Him. And then get your mind, make sure you're where you're tethered. Where are you tethered? See, this is all abiding in Him and having His word abiding in us. This is how we can be fruitful. You know, we don't have to have fruit that's got mold and spots and worms and all of that kind of stuff in it. We can have wonderful, good fruit. But we have to choose this, because that's what Jesus said. In verse 42, He says, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen this. We have to choose this kind of lifestyle. We have to choose to have our minds stayed on Him. We have to choose that our thoughts are always going to be God's thoughts about things. And then being open to always being, having our thoughts come up another notch, another notch, another notch, you know, until the day we get to be with Him, and woof, that's going to be incredible. But she chose. She realized what was needful, what was essential, and she chose that. And the thing she chose was the right thing, because it said it was the good part. It was the good part that she chose. What's the good thing? It's living, having your mind living in that place where you're just conscious of the reality of God. That's that abiding in Him and dwelling with Him. I love the Message Bible. It says, one thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. One translation said, she won't be deprived of this. You know, why do we let things deprive us of that? Why do we let bad news deprive us of the peace of God? Why do we let the doctor's report deprive us of knowing that we are healed? Why do we let a financial challenge deprive us of knowing that our needs are met and obeying God in that area? Why do we let that happen? Because our minds haven't been stayed. We have not chosen the good thing. We've chosen to do it our way. And our way is Death Valley. Amen. Our way is Death Valley compared to God's Mount Everest ways about things and His thoughts about things. So this is the work part of being a Christian. It's getting your mind renewed, getting your thoughts to be aligned with God's thoughts, and getting your heart established on these principles so that when these things come, not if, but when these things come, we're tethered. We're tied. Our minds are stayed there. We're not easily shaken. We're not easily blown off by, you know, even when something comes that looks like it's devastating, God has a way. Amen? See, that has to be the bottom line. God has a way. God has a way out of this. God has a way to deliver me through this. And that's the needful part. That's what's needful. We have to choose to have our minds thinking that way, to be stayed on that, to be established on that. Amen.